Thank you, Father, for this session. Pray that you open the eyes of understanding. Help us to get revelation knowledge from your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I don't know whether I should start something or we should just continue with the questions and answers so that tomorrow we can start something, because if I start, I'm not going to be able to finish. Yeah, so, and if I should start, I may not be able to finish before the time that I've set in the spirit to finish. So I guess you can continue asking the questions then. Okay. Okay, then let me sit here.
Daddy, please, my question is, in the afternoon when I came around, they were talking about dreams and prophets. So if like through a prophet, someone is warned that maybe don't go to Kumasi, and like there's something the person really had to go and do, but so the person still insisted, oh, like I have to go. So the prophet prayed for the person, and when the person went to die. So like with such a prophecy that you are warned not to go somewhere, and you still go and something bad happens to you, Will the person, like the person who died, will you be accounted for not obeying God? Like,
Again, I was there.
Yeah. Because the reason why the person died was because the person did not take the instructions seriously. It depends on how well you know the prophet and your conviction and how you took the word. Because sometimes somebody may tell you that, okay, I saw an accident. You had an accident on the Accra Kumasi road. So, don't go. Don't travel. Maybe it's this week. Don't travel. If you believe the person and you know that what he's saying is true, and you also don't have the level of faith to say that I must go, I cancel it, then don't go. But the practice of being led about by prophecies is not right. For instance, there are some people, before they travel, they have to consult a man of God. I want to travel to Accra. What do you think? Should I go? Is it okay? Is the road cleared? That one is not right. But if you, for instance, Agabus told Paul that the Jews are going to bind him, he took Paul's mantle and said, and used the mantle to bind his hand and feet. Then he said, so are the Jews going to bind the one whose mantle I'm holding. And all the people said Paul shouldn't go. But Paul went. Because Paul had understanding. And he also could hear from God. Agabus heard right. But Paul was high in authority, so he went.
And one other question: when we were on campus, there was a lady, one of Reverend Ampia Kofi's son. He's a prophet. He told her that he saw something about the father, that the father will fall sick, and so if the father falls sick, immediately the lady should call him so that he prays for the dad. And the father fell sick, and the lady fasted for that 7 days, 7 days dry and prayed, and the daddy died. So the day the daddy died, she called the prophet to tell him. And he told her that, I told you to call me to pray for your dad. If you believe you have the anointing to stop that. You were talking of something about dreams, that sometimes when you have a dream, you've prayed. But maybe you have, the dream will occur again. So maybe you have to call somebody who is high and let the person back you in prayer. So like, I was kind of asked, so the lady, he told the lady that, I gave you the instruction to call me so that I pray for your dad. But you believe, and the lady said, but I prayed and fasted for 7 days, but my daddy died at the end. So like, if somebody or like a man of God, you know, is genuine or like gives you an instruction to do, and like you believe maybe if I pray it will not go, or like it will go, but your prayers still were not able to solve that problem.
Because maybe because of your level of not understanding and faith. It's all a matter of level of understanding and faith, level of maturity, to put it simply, level of maturity. So if you know that, like, you can't do anything about it, it's better to obey. You see, sometimes, for instance, a lady may fast and pray, but maybe there were specific things that she had to pray about. You see, and the prophet too, I don't know why, maybe he too was, that was the instruction he received. Or maybe he too didn't want to be open with her or something. But as a rule, it depends on your level of maturity. Sometimes people can call you and tell you things. I remember once I was traveling to Accra. Then one person called me and said that, he had a dream. No, he didn't say a dream. He said he sees that I'll be traveling, you know, and he doesn't, and he has seen that the enemy has planned accident for me, you know, on the Accra road. And so then I said, well, for traveling, it's true. I'm even about to travel today. And so I prayed against it and I went, you know. So, but in some instances too, maybe the fear, you see, because the person has said it, because of your level of understanding, you are gripped with fear that, hey, as I'm going, something will happen. The fear itself. So if you're afraid, I know one lady who was going for a funeral in her hometown. The funeral was that of her mother. That of her mother. She went, but that of a grandmother. Then a prophet who was in your church called her in front of the people and said, you're about to go for a funeral. No, it was for her mother. Yes. Said, I wish you wouldn't go. I wish you wouldn't go. But if there's a way, don't go. But because it's your mother, you let me pray for you. That you go. So he just prayed for her. Then she went. When she went, they were tied. They tied a cloth around her the side. So when they tied the cloth around the side, when they came from the funeral, she complained to her husband that there's something like a lump in her breast, and it's quite painful. The husband said, "Okay, maybe because of the way." The cloth was tight. Maybe it was stout. That's why. Within some few weeks, she was diagnosed of breast cancer. Within some few weeks, they cut one. 2 years later, she died. And she was a Christian. So the harm had already been done. In fact, the week that she was diagnosed. I had a vision. I saw that somebody, I didn't see the person, so that somebody had been rushed to the hospital, and just then, in the vision, it was so fast, they just said, breast cancer, and they cut the breast. So I had a vision on Monday. Then on Wednesday, I was told that they were about to cut her breast. I said, hey. So I rushed to Kofanochi to pray for her. When I went there, I told her that I had a vision. I saw one woman who was raised and the breast was cut. I prayed against it. I wanted to believe with me so that we pray and cancel that. Then she said that, well, she doesn't have a problem with the breast being cut because they are saying that it's spreading and they must save it. So we should allow them to cut. And she knows one woman whose one breast was cut and she has walking around for 15 years. So it's nothing. The doctors had psyched her up to say that there's nothing to be afraid of and all that. And so I just prayed for God's protection as she goes through the operation. Because that was where her faith was. Her faith was in the what the doctors would do. So they cut it. Sometimes, if you know the person who is saying that, and you don't think that you have sufficient authority to deal with it, either you get concerted prayer, you see, or you don't make the move. After all, if he says for this number of days, it will, unless what you are going to do is extremely important, then you have high authority, so you can destroy what the devil has said. But if you don't know and you are afraid, yes, if you are afraid, then you better don't say, no, if you are afraid, the thing frightens you. There was one woman who, she was one of our church members, then she was passing by, then one Methodist reverend, lady reverend called her and said that, I see a coffin, three coffins. So, come, let's pray. Let me pray for you. Then she said, we people, we don't believe in those things. We don't believe in those things. And then the following week, she went for a funeral in her hometown, came back on Sunday evening. Monday morning, she was dying. Rushed her to the hospital, then she died. So, whose fault was it? If you know you don't have sufficient, but you know that the thing, you cannot deal with the thing, then you get prayer, you know, and then, don't go.
Okay, that is to contain what we treated today, the foundation. You said, you made a statement that Jesus worked upon his foundation for 30 years, and then he used 3 years for his ministry. I was wondering about Paul in the Bible. How did he also lay his foundation? Because he was just called in the scene and he started preaching, and then I didn't know how his foundation was laid, and then he just started.
Okay, Paul, we have a clue in Galatians 1 about how Paul was trained. Even though he started preaching immediately, he also was trained. You know, God sent him. Okay. Okay, it says, but when it, Galatians 1:15, Galatians 1:15. He said that, but when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went out to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Okay, so he went to Arabia. He went to Arabia. Then come to verse 2. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. So even the 14 plus the 3 is 17 years. So he was saying that when he became born again, he did not confer with flesh and blood. He just stepped out to preach. But he went to Arabia. Then when he went to Arabia, he returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, he went to Jerusalem again. Then after 14 years, he went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took with me Titus. At this time, Paul has started ministry. You see, so we don't know how many years he spent in Arabia for training before he came to present himself to the apostles in Jerusalem. Before he went 14 years again and came back. When he was coming back, he came with the Acts 15, where they had the church council meeting. That was when he came to present his doctrine, what God had been using him to do before the apostles, and they extended to him a right hand of fellowship. So he had foundation. It took some time for him to be fully set. You remember that Paul was either a prophet or a teacher. You see, when you read Acts 13, you see when his apostolic ministry started. Acts 13, verse 1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. This time Saul was either a prophet or a teacher. The Bible says there were some prophets and teachers, certain prophets and teachers. He named Saul as one of them. This was when he was ushered into his apostolic calling. God said, separate Barnabas and Saul. Yes. So even though he was called to preach, he was just preaching. He was not in any real office yet. But later he entered the teaching or prophetic office, one of them. Then later he entered the apostolic office.
Please, I want to know, you made mention that sometimes some troubles or we pass through some pain, and it is always God's plan for us to lay a good foundation. And I want to know whether, is it all trouble that comes our way for us to build or to develop a good foundation?
Okay, no. There are some that come our way because of our own mistakes. You see, there are some that even the devil may bring, which we can pray and then drive away. But even those that come because of our own mistakes, God does not waste them. He doesn't waste them. They all go into your foundation. Are you getting me? But the ones that come because of the call of God, that is what I'm talking about. Because of the ministry. Certain inconveniences you go through, certain adjustments you have to make in your life because of the call of God on your life. That is God taking you through issues to lay a solid foundation in your life. So it's not, for instance, there are certain things that God will not use to teach his children. You know, things that Jesus came to take away, God doesn't use them to teach his children. Sickness and all those things. You see, but there are things you will suffer for the answering the call of God. Your life can be hijacked by God. Your plans and your visions can be thrown away, interrupted by God, changed. God can change the course of your direction. And that one is better than what you plan to do, but it's inconvenient because it comes with serious adjustments. And if you don't take care, you may even kick against it, but it may be God. Sometimes, when you go through things and it is God, what you know is that even though you're going through these things, yet you get revelation through them. You don't, it's not just darkness. It's not just you, just the devil afflicting you. No. Then also, when you read 2 Corinthians 12, you look at Paul's issue in 2 Corinthians 12. Says from verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might depart from me, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Look at the things Paul was going through. You know, just because he answered the call. But here he said a messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. Why? Because of pride. Because sometimes when God starts using you, the ministry, it's all part of the foundation. That like you are asking Paul, he just came and he was just preaching. But it could happen that maybe he was not matured enough, you know, but God was still using him. Okay, so he could have made certain mistakes that attracted the devil to buffet him. And God saw it and he allowed it, because it will bring him down. So he was going through a lot of issues like persecution, a lot of things, you know. And because he was carrying a lot of revelation, you know, like revelation itself attracts the devil, because it's light. When Paul releases the light, many people are going to be set free because of the light. So the devil will attack him. Then also, because of his pride also, he opened the door for the devil to come. Sometimes, you see, God's main agenda is to get your heart. Sometimes it takes God some time to be able to, because God cannot touch your will, you know, without your consent. He has to find a way of getting you to submit your will under him. He cannot force you. He has given you your will. But the will is something that is very stubborn. So sometimes what God does is he will do certain things to put you in a tight corner. Then you surrender. Those who are running away from the call, you know that God is calling me. God is calling you and you're running away. Certain things, because you are not in the perfect will of God, certain things can happen. In 2010, when I said that the Lord came actually, you know, now which demands that you have to pick up the mandate, you have to do this, you have to do that. At that time, I had even lost interest in anything called ministry, preaching, you know. I was just serving the Lord, doing some few ministry activities, like maybe preaching on Commercial Policy Board program. But I didn't really go all out. I was even running away from preaching engagements because my heart was not in that. Then, one day, I was in the gym and I had a call that my daughter No, my second daughter, that time she was about 1 year. No, not 1 year yet, like about 7 months. That was in April. She was 1 year in June. So that was like 10 months. So hot water was on the stove. And then she went and the thing fell like that on her. Very hot, you know. So the thing came, dodged the face and all this part came to the legs. But it was a serious burn, very serious. So we took her to accident and emergency at Komonochi. Then we had to go. I mean, we went there and for about a month, we were always going there and all that. At the same time, I sensed that there was something wrong somewhere. So I wanted to find answers. What is God really saying? You know, so I decided to fast using Colossians 1:9-11. So I fasted from Wednesday to Friday for the month of June. Wednesday to Friday using Colossians 1. But when the thing happened, I went for a retreat and I was trying to inquire. That was when the Lord said that I have abandoned the mandates and I must be up and take it up and take it seriously. Now, it wasn't God who caused the water to pour on her. It was the devil. But the reason why it happened was because God did not intervene. Because I read from Kenneth Hagin that he was trying to put his teaching ministry before his prophetic ministry. Because there were a lot of criticism about the prophetic ministry. But God said, you are a prophet and a teacher, not a teacher and a prophet. But he said, I want to be a teacher before a prophet. So he said one day he was preaching. Then as he was preaching, he slipped and broke his arm. So the arm was put in a sling. Then as he was going to the hospital, he heard God speaking to him through the speakers of the car that the devil did this to you, but I had to allow it because you were not in my perfect will. If I had not intervened, you wouldn't have lived to cross 55 years. So, you know, it's a ministry thing. You don't have lived to cross 55 years. So I intervened with this. When he went to the hospital, Jesus came to him and said that, yes, I'm going to heal you. The doctor said that it would take like 4 months or so. Jesus said he will be healed within 14 days. I'm going to speed up the process. But I will leave 1% pain so that you will always be reminded not to put your teaching ministry before your prophetic ministry. So he said that sometimes when he stretches, then the pain, he feels the pain, 1% pain. And it reminds him always. God has ways of getting you to do what he wants you to do. He will not force you, but he will put you in a corner where you only say, I surrender. Yes, he's God. He knows where to touch and for him to get your attention. So that is what happened. And sometimes, even when God is doing that, he'll still be, God is, it's not, God will not, he will allow it, you know, and he will get your attention. It happens all the time. Like, for instance, Stephen, the apostles had to go and preach the gospel, and they were in Jerusalem. And they were just, all of them were gathered in Jerusalem. And God saw that I have to drive these people away for them to go and preach. Not apostles, I mean the church. So he allowed persecution to come. And they were scattered all over. As they were scattered, they started preaching. and the gospel went outside Jerusalem. So the persecution was, the devil thought that he was killing them, persecuting them, but God knew that he was tearing it up so that it would push them to go and do his work. Are you okay? Is the ministry work scary? Is it scary? It's scary, but you see, God deals with us according to the amount of light he has given us. So sometimes what he has told you, and God is said that he might have told you several times, but he's not getting your attention. He will speak to you through the word. He doesn't get your attention. He'll speak to you through dreams. You ignore. You know. But we must always learn to be humble. You know, like when God says, do something, just do it. You know, in my own case, what happened was that when it was 2010, at that time, you know, I met one person, and then we were both going to schools to preach and all that. But there was a point where there was something like a disconnect between us, a disconnect. What really happened was that we used to live in the same area, you know, but then we went outside a bit far, and there was a disconnect. And there was a point where I realized that he was trying to do something that was like do his own thing. Meanwhile, if I am your father and I'm instructing you or teaching you to do this, then let's do it. But he had different ideas. So I decided to just leave him and let me do what I wanted to do. And then in 2010, the Lord began to minister to me that I should call him again. It was difficult for me because I really didn't want to, I didn't want to be with him, you know. I wanted him to go. But he said, I should call him. I had a dream about that. I didn't mind. Because it was like, why should I call you? I mean, I shouldn't call you. I mean, let's go separate ways. But then I went to church. Reverend Institute was preaching. Reverend Institute came. He came outside of the tutorial. I was sitting outside. Then he came. He was speaking about joining this chariot. Then he said, somebody, God is telling you, don't leave that young man on his own. Call him to join your chariot. I knew he was speaking to me direct, but I still didn't want to do that. Yes, so after the incident, and I went for a retreat, then the Lord cataloged all these events in sequential order. I said, so that's why, you see, I gave you this dream. I gave you this thing. This man of God confirmed you knew I was talking to you all the day. And you are not in my perfect will. Go get him. So I have to go. I went to him and I said, okay, well, if you want to come back, because now I want to rebrand everything and start the whole thing afresh. So if you want to come back, I've gotten an office. I want to start. I've gotten an office. I want to register the thing, you know, in a different name. This is a vision God has given me. I want to do it in accordance with the mandate that God has given me. If you are interested, come. And God had also been speaking to him, you know, and all that. So he too said, yes, I've always wanted to come, but I was afraid and all that. So I said, okay, then that's how he came back, and then we started again. I was glad I obeyed. Yes. Even though at a point he had to go, but I was glad I obeyed. I obeyed, and I had to more or less swallow my pride. Yeah, because I had determined that I was not going to do anything. I had already gotten some few people that I said, I want to do this thing with you. Don't let him go. Let him go where he wants to go. But God said no. So you see that because of the nature of the mandate and how important it was to God, he had to get my attention. And that's how he chose to get my attention. After that, then that was all. So sometimes ministry issues, if God wants to get your attention, if God is calling you, God knows how he will get you. There are some people, God will have to mess their career, like I said. Mess their career just so that they will be put in a tight corner. Yeah, you do the work. He knows how to do it. Put in a tight corner, you say, oh, okay. You have won. It's okay, I will go. Like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was struggling to place his will. That was the battle that he was fighting. It was a battle of wills, not a battle of the flesh. So, should I put my will? Should I die? I don't want to be separated from the Father. So he said, Father. He was even trying to bribe God. Say, Abba, Father. That expression means dear daddy. You know how I want to say, oh, dear daddy. Abba, Hupata, Abba, Father. That was the only time he used that expression. He needed the Father to give him permission not to die. But the Father didn't answer the question. Then later on he said, okay, Abba, Father, if it is your will that I should die, then not my will but yours be done. Then that's how we are saved. Sometimes because there are people who must be saved, God will dislocate, like Jacob. God touched the hip of his hip, and he was limping. God touched him, and he was limping. And that was how God got his attention. Because the strongest bone is this one, so God touched it, and he was dislocated, and he was just limping like that. That he became sober.
Please, with what you just said. So, when I read this scripture, when the Israelites were crying to God for a king, Bible said that he gave them Saul, the son of this. But for David, he raised up David. So when I read it, I was like, so there is a difference between gave and they raised. And one understanding I got from it was about the process, that David was put through a process, even through the wilderness and all that was a process God was putting him through. But for Saul, like nothing was of that sort happened.
Yeah.
And because of that, Saul's reign didn't last.
Yeah.
But for David's reign, it's lasted. So like with this, if like somebody resists God's will for a while, and maybe at the age of 50, the person says, oh, okay, God, I give up. And maybe the person have to go through a process for like 10 years. Does it mean that at that age of 50, God will still let the person go through the process he should have gone through maybe 20 years ago. But because he wasn't allowing himself, will God still let the person go through that process so that whatever plan that God had for the person will manifest?
You know, sometimes it may happen that you will... What God has spoken to you, because of your delay and your disobedience, you will die and you will not see it. Or maybe your children will see it. That thing will come to pass, but maybe you will not. Because let's say you have 80 years to live, and God is calling you to do something at 40, or let's say 20, and you are delaying till you get to 60 years. You have only 20 years remaining. Whatever you can do up to the 80 years, he will do with you. After that, you are retired. So you may not be able to finish. Somebody will come and continue. Because you delayed him. So it is not an easy thing, though, because if you delay, you are putting, it's you, the blame is on you, not God. Even though God sometimes works our delays and all that into his plan. Like Moses, it took God 40 years to convince him, to train him, you know, like to be able to deliver them from Egypt. He even spent the 40 years that he spent running away from God, led the people to be in slavery for 430 years instead of 400 years. You see, so he delayed God's process.
Right. Can we say that with the Israelites being, Bible said they were stiff-necked, and it reached a point in time, they seen that God told Moses that none of these old people will see the promised land. And Bible said they all, like those old people who were part of those who rebelled against God, they all died. So the point I was left with, like, the new generation, and those people were the ones who saw the promised land.
Yeah.
So we can say it like that.
Yes. Because they rebelled against God. You know, they were at Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea to the promised land was like 11 days. So they had gotten close to the promised land. And they had journeyed for 1.5 years. So maybe it was going to take them less than 2 years to get to the promised land. Because they went through the wilderness. The wilderness was part of God's purpose. But the wanderings was their own making. So having gotten to Kadesh Barnea, God had to let them wander again for 38 years in the wilderness. It's something, you know. It's something. A man of God was telling me that when he started ministry, said that he was very anointed, very gifted, worship leader and all that. People were coming from other churches too, you know. And he did many things, you know. But he said because of that, he was very proud. Very proud. His senior pastor tried to correct him. He said that the pastor was jealous. So he said, at a point, he had to leave. So he left and said he wandered in the wilderness for 25 years. 25 years. He was just wandering. You know, just like a vagabond, going here, going there for 25. And it wasn't God's doing. It wasn't God's. The wanderings are not... The wilderness, everybody will go through wilderness because that's where you build intimacy. That's where you learn to build intimacy. But the wanderings is our own doing, not God's. Are you okay?
Please, Daddy, I want to know, can your gift be taken away from you? Assuming if you are not doing the will of God, can the gift be taken away? And I also want to know, how can you differentiate these troubles that are facing are for God's plan, and these ones are not?
The Bible says the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. Romans 11:29. So that's like, God will never change his mind of using you, or maybe using you in this way. Then the gifts too, not that he takes them, it's a gift, he doesn't take them back. But it gets to a point where if he leaves you, or maybe you stray from him, you can get to a point of self-destruction where the gift is even destroying you. He has not taken the gift. When Satan rebelled, he didn't take his power away. Because when God gives you something, he has given it to you. So that's why sometimes the gifts can even deceive us. Because for a gift, you don't need anything to preach a gift. It's just grace. It's a gift. So you may not be prayerful and still operate a gift. You may not even have any contact, any fellowship with God, and still be preaching a gift. So it can deceive you that you are doing well. Okay, but it's like, but it takes time for you to realize that the gift is now destroying you. It's like when you take very chilled bottle from the fridge, till that it's still chilled, you know, like you put it down for some time. But let's say it's now even ice. So it starts thawing. Then it gets to a point where it becomes liquid. Then it gets to a point where it becomes warm. At a point, you not even think that it has been in the fridge before. That's how it is. So there are some people, as they go along, and they are moving on without God and all that, they can go only thus far. A time comes when either another spirit will take over. So the devil is using the gift that God gave them to glorify himself. You understand? Yeah, because now the person is not submitted to God anymore. So that's the point where the gift can destroy the person. So you see somebody with a genuine gift, you know, but the person is even now consulting spirits and all that. So he can operate the gift and he can also operate the familiar spirits. And sometimes you see that this person, what he's doing, or this one is God, is God. At another time, you see that he's gone off cry. So you can have a mixture like that. When you don't attend, when you neglect a relationship, and then pressure comes on you too, then familiar spirit can set in. Then, how do you know whether what I'm facing is from God? He will tell you. He will show you. You will know that God is with you. You will know that God is with me. You see, you know that in all these things, God is with me. So you will have an understanding that this thing that I'm going through, it's not because of anything, not because I've sinned, not because of anything, but because maybe God wants me to adjust. There is always the adjustment gap. God will let you know. You know, even in Paul's case, he said, I besought the Lord 3 times that it should depart from me. Which means he prayed about it. That maybe let this thing depart from me. But then God answered. That was community. That was relationship. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Which means that I'm not taking that thing away, but I'm giving you grace to go through.
Daddy, I was asking a question. Can we inherit anointing? Like, there is sometimes you hear them say, the anointing that is on your father or your mother shall locate you. Can you inherit anointing?
Okay. Yeah. The thing is that certain things can be passed on to you from people. Even certain gifts can be passed on to you. Like I was explaining at a camp meeting, you have the first mantle, which you can inherit from somebody. Okay, but then you must also get your own mantle, which God will put on you and set you in a place. So you'll be a combination of people's mantles and then your own. It's like the anointing oil. It was a combination of many spices and then olive oil. So there are many spices, and then the olive oil is your own anointing that God will give you. That one doesn't come by laying of hands. That one comes through process. You buy that one. It's an extra oil. You buy it. You pay the price. To pay the price means just go through God's process. At a point, you see God combining all the various impartations, then putting something unique. You know, so it's like you carry different graces plus your own grace. And one of the graces can be the grace of your father or your mother or on any man of God. You can get something from the inheritance of another man of God. I remember in 2013, I had this encounter with a man of God, Bishop Ajinasari, then he said, you must also get something from Idahosa's inheritance. He said it in 2013. Idahosa came for the impartation in 2015, 10 September. So that was something from his inheritance, from his house, his room, his box. Okay. Then there's something we call the Elijah transfer, where God anoints you in the room of a man of God. In that instance, you get his mantle. You see, the mantle is never gotten till the person dies. Mantles are released only when somebody dies. You can't get somebody's mantle while the person is alive. Because a mantle is a combination of the calling, the experience, the giftings, the process, everything combined makes the person a house. So God can anoint you as prophet in his room. Elisha got Elijah's mantle plus, you know, the first mantle and the second mantle was from Elijah. So he stepped into Elijah's real office and became the one with the double portion, the main one to replace Elijah. So when a man of God dies, a woman of God dies, the mantle is available. Sometimes when God sees that there's nobody to give the mantle to, he will keep it. He will keep the mantle. When somebody shows up and the person qualifies, and the person is the one that qualifies, God can put that mantle on the person. We can sometimes say that, ancient mantles are being released on people. People are dead and gone. Their mantles are put in boxes or in containers. So you just remove one and put it on you. Take this. Now, sometimes it happens that you continue the work the person did. Then your own work. So you can inherit gifts, yes. You grow into an office. You don't inherit an office. But when somebody dies, you can inherit the mantle. In that case, what the person stands for, everything will be given to you, grow into it. Are you kidding? Okay.
Please, Daddy, my question is, after you have received a prophecy, how do you work towards the manifestation of that prophecy in your life? And my next question is, Bible says that we should do good whenever we have the opportunity. Sometimes you do good to a person and it's like your good is a bother or a burden on such a person. So in that case, do you continue to do the good or you stop? Thank you.
Okay. For your second question, Galatians 6, 9 and 10 answers it. It says, do not be weary. Do not be tired. So you don't stop because the person doesn't appreciate or anything. Sometimes you can stop because you can it says, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. Galatians 6:9. So sometimes you can stop doing something for somebody because the person doesn't like it. He doesn't like it. Not that you are tired. There are some people, you don't have to cast your pearls before swine. Otherwise, Jesus said that don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Neither should you cast your pearls before swine. They will trample upon it, come and rent you in pieces. So you are trying to be good to this person. The person doesn't want to accept it. Just leave the person. Go and look for another person to be good to. You have not stopped doing good. Then you said a prophecy. You see, every prophecy that God gives you, the prophecy itself has self-fulfilling mechanisms. It has timelines that when the time comes, it will manifest. Now, What you have to do in order to wage warfare with the prophecy is to keep believing. Once you keep believing it, in due course it will manifest. So it's not a matter of maybe you tell the prophecy that you are always binding the devil on it and all that. Keep believing it. Keep believing it. And be a watcher of prophecy. Because sometimes God may say certain things to you, but you realize that after some time you are forgotten. When they start coming to pass, you cannot connect the dots to know that this is what God said. That's why prophecy, when you see prophecy, write them down. Yes, and from time to time, go over them. Now, this is what God has said concerning my life. I believe it. It will surely come to pass. One day, that word will speak. Are you okay? Yes. One day, that word will speak. And sometimes, the word can be so dormant that you may actually think that you have lost the prophecy. No. If only you have not stopped believing it, it will surely manifest. So the devil comes against the word you have received. If it was a genuine word of God, which came from the breath of God, it will surely come to pass. The devil can fight against you to lose your grip on the word. That's why he will sometimes bring certain things. The word itself will try you. Like Bible says, the word tried Joseph. The word itself, when God speaks the word, it initiates a process, you know. Then the word itself is making adjustments in you and all that, trying to get you to a point where you can literally lay hold on it. The devil too will come just to push you to get off, you know, believing, stop believing the word. That's the fight of faith. The fight of faith is when you stand your ground. When God has given you a word and you are saying that I'm not budging, I'm not moving an inch, I believe this word. Even when you are going through the exact opposite, we have what we call the contradiction test. When God gives you a word, there are some tests that you go through. Contradiction test. God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you till you're going to get money till it starts coming from your nose. So you are very happy. You are very happy that money is going to come from my nose. The very next incident is that you are so dry. Everything is so dry. Everything is not working and all that. You're like, hey, the prophecy was not true. No, it was true. It's a test. Stand your ground and keep believing at the appropriate time. And the sad thing is that God doesn't tell you when. Sometimes he can give you specific. Sometimes he will not tell you when the thing is going to be fulfilled. But you know that the time is due. You know, when between the prophecy and the fulfillment, God will give further prophecies to shape the prophecy. So the vision will grow. Prophecy will increase. You see, so let's say God has said it. Then between that time, even the time that you are going through the contradiction test, God may be giving further prophecies, confirming what he has already said. Why is he doing that? He doesn't want you to lose hope. He wants you to keep believing. So some people also interpret it this way. Oh, everywhere I go, they talk about this financial breakthrough and all that. I'm not seeing anything by me. So maybe I don't even believe anymore. No, God is shaping his word, using his word to shape his word. So if you don't give up, at the appropriate time, you will see that it will speak. You will know when the time is due, when God starts coming in more with specifics. So that the time is getting close to the time of God, the manifestation of God's purposes that he has said. Sometimes when it's getting close, it becomes darker. I mean, the darkest moment is just before the day breaks. Before the day breaks, it will be dark. And that's when the word is about to be fulfilled. People abandon their pregnancies when they are close to full term. When the thing has matured. Because It's like nobody is seeing it. You see, the thing is, you are carrying the thing in your womb and all that. It is a vision God has given you and the prophecy. So the thing is working in you, but nobody sees it. Only you and God know what is happening. So people sometimes say that, oh, let me abandon the whole thing. I can't carry this pregnancy for 9 months. Let me abort it. Let me give up on what God said he would do. After all, it's not true. He will not do it. Meanwhile, when God gave the prophecy, he started the process of fulfilling the prophecy. Started even making provision for the prophecy. Do you know that there are people that God has positioned even on your path of destiny who must be of help to you in many aspects of your life? So, when you are on God's path, you see, one of the blessings and benefits of process is that when you are on God's path, you don't miss these people. When you are on God's path, you don't miss them. Because they have been positioned on your path. And they have been there are timelines to that. You will see that sometimes when you are getting to a certain age or a certain season, you will see God's spiritual activity concerning your life increases. I don't know what that's it. When you are about to cross to another level, spiritual activity concerning your life increases. What I mean is that prophecies will start coming, dreams will be showing, visions will be showing, confirmations will start coming. People will be telling you, I saw you like this, and you will be seeing some too. It means that the way the thing is coming from different sources at the same time, God is bombarding you with the thing. It's now time, be ready, just get ready. The thing is going to happen any moment from now, so get ready. Then you will start seeing the foretaste. Then later on, the full taste will come. So, and the fulfillment of the prophecy is in stages. Sometimes, you know, in Mark 4, it says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the grain. So, it's in stages. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. So, 30-fold manifestation, you begin to see one or two things. 60-fold, then you get to the peak, the 100-fold, where you are now seeing everything that God said. Or at least you are at the center of God's purpose for your life. But if you abandon it at 30-fold, you will not see the glory of God. You may experience the goodness of God, you may experience anything, but you experience the glory when you get to the full measure. Sometimes God can use circumstances, can use things to point out to you that it is time. And when God says it is time, you don't think that maybe it's just 1 month for you to get a promise or something. God can start saying it is time from 2 years, 2 years to time. Oh, yes. 2 years to time, you can say, now is the time. Now is the time that I'm going to fulfill all that I've told you. And it's still 2 years. From experience, I realize that when God says soon, you know, like, soon. For me, the soon is like 2 years. Last year, June, I had a lot of encounters, the whole month of June, a lot of them. And they all had a timing of 2 years. I've been following God and all that. Last June, I had an encounter. The first one I had, they were in dreams. The first one I had, it was concerning business. I had it on 7 June concerning business. The Lord showed me an impartation, you know, like another level that is taking me, you know, like that. Stepping ahead of and then being anointed. That's why he said, they were reading Hebrews 1:9. So I've anointed you because you have hated lawlessness and blah, blah, blah. I've anointed you with the oil of God above your contemporaries. The following day after I had had the encounter talking about the business, I had another encounter talking about ministry with Maurice Cerullo coming to me. Then when he came to me in the dream, he said that I have barely 2 years to live, and I've come to hand over to you. So he gave me a key, you know, very big key, very, very big. And it was 22:22. Later, I realized that it was a key of David, Isaiah 22:22. Then he prayed for me. Then he said many things about ministry and all that. He said, I've come to hand over to you. I mean, such a big thing. And he said, I have barely 2 years to live. That's what he said, that he has barely 2 years. So in a dream, it was like he was going to come. It was 2 years. Then Archbishop Duncan Williams came to do something in the dream also, which I didn't see what he came to do. But when I woke up, I heard a voice. And the Lord said, in 2 years, he said something about 2 years. Okay. So then also I had another one where somebody was, a coffin was on people's shoulders and they were going. Then somebody shouted, there's a gift for you. Then I saw a book jump from the coffin. It came and I caught it like that. The same month of June. So I didn't understand that one. I thought maybe God had given me another topic to write. Then I wrote in my diary, another book to write, or an impartation, another level in a writing ministry. So when I went to preach, I went to pray, then the Lord told me exactly what it meant. Later on, I saw Spouse Moreau giving me his pen drive and contained a lot of books. You know, then he was telling me that, you know, my books are in over 80-something countries and, you know, interpreted in many languages and all that, and translated in many languages and all that. So I read, I could now understand the dream. And all these things, they had a space of 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. But beginning of the year, 2016, the Lord ministered to me with a song. And the song was telling me that he was going to do the thing. That is now, that song was, Oh, Mripemu, the Nipantia say na woye. Oh, Mripemu, you know, Jane and Bernice. There was a phrase in the song that said, Makai de maka, mibehwena maya mao. And the song was being sung to me in a dream. I've remembered what I've said, and I'm going to see that I'll perform it. That year, 2016, I experienced many things that clearly show that now is the time. And yet in June, I started having 2 years, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. So when it gets to a time, God will begin to give specifics. Like Abraham said, a year by this time, I'll come back. Sarah will have a child. A year by this time. So God had been working with him for some time. Like, now that God into a point where God said, now it's a year by this time, I'll come. Sarah shall have a son. So when the time comes for the manifestation, then God will start manifesting in bits, 30-fold. You know, sometimes we despise the 30-fold. Yeah. Then it goes to 60-fold. A God will not just come and say, oh, this is what I said, bang, bang. No, it's 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Then the full manifestation. It's like breaking of a new day. You know, do you know when the Bible started saying we are in the last days? In the year 2,000 years ago. When the Bible started saying we are in the last days. So we are still in the, are we still in the last days? Yes, so that's something about God's process. And sometimes, you know, you can really, really get confirmations and you think that this thing is happening now, but well dodged. And you think, but I think I saw this. I think I knew that it was going to happen this year. God said this year was going to happen. In 2016, somebody, you know, gave me a prophecy. And the person said that this God is going to do in your life. Then he said, it's going to happen in 2018, but it will start from 2017. And we're in 2016. I was like, I'm expecting the thing to happen in 2016. Look at what you are saying. You are talking about 2018. But it will start from 2017. So don't give up on your prophecy. Hold on to it. Thank God for it. Keep believing it. Write them down. Get a book for dreams, visions, prophecies. Every year I buy one diary for that. I've bought 2018's diary already. So I write the dreams, the visions, the prophecies according to the dates, because it's in a diary. So sometimes people, when I tell people, when they give me certain prophecies, they are surprised because I keep track of them. I keep track of them. And I'm always looking for confirmation. Confirmation. Sometimes people wonder how, but you see, if you are mindful of them, you will know when the confirmation is coming. Because God will always give confirmation. That's why in most camp meetings, I try to connect the dots for you to know that this is what God said, and this is what is happening. This is what it means, you know, so that you can pick that thing up and be doing that for yourself. Okay. Give the microphone to him.
Daddy, I want to clear my mind. Is this dream that I last dreamt, and I saw one man, and before the dream, I asked the grandson to join me or to give his life to Christ. So the son decided to join me. So to some time that the man asked the son to stop. So when the grandson stopped, the grandfather threatened me that you, this boy, I will not leave you. So I took it as a joke. So one night I dreamt and I saw the man. And when I saw the man's face, something told me that this is your real enemy. So anytime that I'm walking around and I meet this man, the only thing that will come to my heart is that be strong and courageous. But this is your enemy. So, and to some time that one prophet prophesied to me, that was the time that I was in SS. So he told me that, he called me out and told me secretly that, do I know this man? And I said, yes. I call him my grandfather. He said I should be very careful about him and I should also stay away from him. So because of that, since what the prophet told me, every day it comes to my mind, stay away from him, stay away from him. So, and it is not like, and so whenever I always see the man, I don't know whether to run away or something like, but I keep on praying. So, and it got to a time that I dreamt and I saw the man planning to do something harmful to me. So I decided to come to Kumasi. So when I came, Psalm 22 was telling me that, go back and do my work. So I set for work to do here in order to end life on Kumasi here. But the fact was that I was not getting the job. So my brother asked me that, if that is the case, and you have been dreaming that, and God has been telling you that you should go and do my work, then you have to go home. So when I got to the house, they called me and said that, we have a job and we want you to come and work. And I dreamt again and it's something to me that, I don't know that is the spirit of God, that you are not leaving. You have to stay behind for my work. And this man, now it got to a time I dreamt that he was to kill me. So I also stood up and I said, the Bible says that we does not wage war against flesh and blood. So I prayed that I don't know what happened and what comes to my mind, and I pray that, Father, I want to more. I want to see a proof on his face. And the following day, I saw his face and it was swallowed. So, I don't know. This kind of, how am I going to tackle this? Because until now, sometimes when I see him, that is what normally happens. And before this camp meeting, if you ask Apostle, he will tell you, I was very sick. For 1 week, I was admitted to the hospital. And in that, the only thing that, when I close my eye, I see the man, when he comes, he'll be doing. So, the only thing is that I can't sleep. But I can feel comfortable if only I'm praying. But the moment I stop praying, then the pain comes back and I can't sleep. And when I close my eyes, the only thing I can hear is. So I have to pray. So every night I will be praying. Even to the extent that my parents will tell that a sick man or a sick boy like this, and you have the mouth to pray like this. But they didn't even know what was happening. So I don't know how am I going to tackle these things even in the house. And when I'm trying to move to some place in order to see whether I can find peace over there, something is there, I should go back to the house and do the work of God.
Okay, you know, you prayed a prayer and said God should let you have see an evidence on his face. And you saw that the face was swollen. Is that all you want to see? Is that all you want to see on his face? So you can also pray that God should tie his hand behind his back. Yeah, so that he will be impotent to, rendered impotent to act his bad things out. Yeah, so if God can let you get to have evidence on his face, God can also clip his wings, tie his hands, bind him, cripple him. Yes, you can pray that prayer. So that's a proof that God is waiting on you to pray so that you don't be afraid of him. Yes. I get to me. So pray. Use Job 5 verse 12 say, tie their hands behind their back so that their hands will not be able to perform their enterprise.
Daddy, concerning familiar spirits, when it comes to the prophetic, you were saying that if someone receives a word by the breath of God, surely it shall be fulfilled.
Yeah.
What of the familiar spirit, the ones with the familiar spirit?
Whether it will be fulfilled. That one, if it is something that Satan has planned to be fulfilled, but if it's not God's word, it won't stand. It won't stand. Sometimes the thing is our familiar spirit is that sometimes they only stop at giving revelation, revealing things, you know, just to impress and all that. They will not say any real thing that is prophecy.
Daddy, please, my question is, when you go to a place and then already there are authorities there, spiritual leaders, but you start seeing the spirits that are ruling in the place and they are coming to you in dreams, showing themselves to you, are you supposed to pray, like rebuke them and their orchestrations in the place, or you are to go to the spiritual leaders? And in a case where you find out that the spiritual leaders, they are not weighty, like they are not into those things. They are just, how would I say, just people who are not into those things. They don't believe those things, but you are seeing it, and these spirits are coming to you, telling you what they are doing in the school or maybe in the place, the students, how they are manifesting in their lives. What should you do in this case?
You see, spiritual warfare, we wage it according to divine direction. So sometimes God may show you something. God may show you something about the environment you are in. And you may see that the people who are supposed to be elders, maybe they don't have a clue as to what is going on. you can start getting some people, like-minded people, declaring to them what you have been seeing and start praying together. Yes. Sometimes, if you don't get anybody, then it means you should just intercede. Intercede that the presence of the Holy Spirit will invade. You invite the Holy Spirit to come on that in that environment, because you are also one of the legitimate members of that institution. So you use your authority to invite him, and you don't go attacking them unless God gives you clear permission that attack them. So as you invite the Holy Spirit and you release intercession, you will see that their hold is getting weaker and weaker, and the platform of obedience is also being built. A time will come with one simple prayer or direction, it will be knocked off. But it's faster when there's corporate prayer. You get other people to join in the prayer. It's faster.
Okay. Please, my neighbor, one day we were talking and she said that like her cousin wanted to go and meet one prophet. He comes on telly and all that at where I stay. That was where the church is. So she said she wasn't feeling that okay going to that man of God. But because the cousin was the one who wanted to go, she took her there. So she said when they were there, the service was going and all that, the man was prophesying and all that. She said something like to the cousin, only to the cousin. She said that what this man is doing, he's not from God. So she said when they closed, the cousin wanted to go and meet the pastor one-on-one, but because of other people, they couldn't go. So when they went home in the evening, when she was sleeping in, she had a dream. And in the dream, some three people, giants and ugly, and they were wearing black dresses with long claws, came to her in the dream. And they said that, you are the one telling people that me, I'm not from God. Me, I'm not from God. And she said that, like, she didn't know what to say in their dream. And they were coming close to her with their long claws. And the big one, like, the two of them said that, okay, so you are the one saying we are not from God. So we are going to call our master to come. So the master came. And the master was about to plug off her eyes. And all of a sudden, she shouted, Jesus. So she said, like, from that day, when she had that dream, she has a strong, like, belief that, no, it's true that that man of God is not from God. And I believed her. And I was like, so how was it that this spirit were able to know? Because she just told her cousin that, how things are going on in the church in there. She doesn't believe the man is from God. But those people were able to know.
Yeah, because they are spirits, familiar spirits. They are always around. Well, as soon as you set your foot in that church, they will come around. Yeah. The things you say, and in fact, they are always around. They know. They can know things supernaturally, what you hear, what you say, and all that. Some of the prophets who use occultic means prophesy. That's how they prophesy. These people are like angels. These spirits, like angels, who go and give information to the prophets. So you may think that it's God, but it's not God. They can also give information. They can give information. They can give accurate information about the person, but they cannot set you free. They cannot prophesy God's plans and purpose for your life. So she should not go there again, because if she goes there again, they may try to identify her, mark her. And once you go there, like, the system will pick you, you know. So sometimes they will monitor you. Sometimes they'll be monitoring you. And they'll try to come to you and all that.
And should she tell the person not to go?
Oh, yeah, based on her experience. She can share her experience. The person, too, will have to know. And also, maybe the person may say, okay, me, I will go. When you go, you also go and encounter it. They can tell the person that this is what I saw concerning this man of God. Is it somebody on TV? Is it popular? You know his name. Taifa Bokina. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But his appearance alone, for him, I had a personal encounter with him in the spirit. Yes. I had a personal encounter with him in the spirit. That was 20th February, my birthday, in 2015. And he took me to where he does his operations and all that. He first, the dream was, the first time for the dream was how he started. He was a genuine person. Then where he is now and his, where he does his operation, all these like idols, it's not from God. There are some people, I can tell you for a fact, they are not from God. Yes.
One of Ampia Kofi's son, he said, like, one of his sons, he comes for church programs. He's been organizing prayer meeting, and the guy went to follow this. He just came up all of a sudden, like a prophet, became popular. So he told the guy that he should stop following him. He's not a true prophet. And the guy went to tell the prophet. He said he was there. He called him and warned him that if he's the one telling people that he's not from God, he would deal with him. And wherever he will go to deal with him. He said he hasn't been sending him WhatsApp, man. He still have the messages on his phone. And they say, El Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So he said, he came to him. Like he called him.
He called him that he would deal with him. Where he has to go, what he would deal with him. And he has not deleted all the messages. Yes.
Well, some of these, people follow them and all that. But you have to be very careful. The least conviction you get, you have to just withdraw.
Daddy, I think AB also told me same thing with El Bernard.
Mm.
And he said the other time when he was praying to, he also had an encounter with him and some kind of weird thing that he was doing in the dream. He said, "Maybe I think if you be the right person."
Yeah.
And it was like in a dream. No, actually it was in a vision. And like, there was actually a queue. And with this queue, like, it was actually involved with pastors. Like some prophets, but like it was the only one I recognized in the vision. And they were wearing like a singlet and then a boxer. So there was this woman, big woman, in a enclosed room. And the woman was having rings. So you come and sleep with the woman. Then the woman will give you a ring, and the color of the ring was pink. So it was a person I recognized in their dream. And when I saw that, like, I have to go back to my laptop and delete all his messages.
Yeah, and that's what you should do. You understand? You know, I was telling you that there are certain people that are all over the place, but, you know, people are just following them and all that. We have to be careful, you know. We have to be very careful. You know, I know it. Yeah, but I got to know in 2015. Yeah, that was when I got to know in 2015. And since that time, I never I never followed anything of his. But there are certain things that certain people that you not. It's like you keep them these things to yourself because nothing really on the outside will show. Yeah, unless maybe you will not see anything on the outside to show. There was somebody who told me about that, 2013, but I didn't really take it seriously because that person too is a prophet and he said that, oh, he mentioned some people in Accra that they are all not genuine. they use, some of them use books and all that, you know, they use books, occultic books and all that, and so people don't know and all that. But when I saw it myself, I said, okay, and that's it. So there are some people that I can clearly warn you and say, don't go, and you know that, oh, it's true. You know, if I say, don't go to a place where they'll say, bring your old underwears and all that, everybody will know that, oh, this, after this guy, yeah. But the popular ones who are intellectuals, who speak good English, dress nice, and, you know, preach somehow, you know, very difficult to discern. But when God shows you, it's a personal thing. When God shows you, then that's it. Yes.
Daddy, please, because of my course that I was doing, I'm doing at university now, we had an educational trip to a shrine. And
what course is that?
Religious studies. We had an educational trip to a shrine. And one amazing thing that from Monday to Saturday, he performed rituals. And Sunday, he preached the word with the Bible. Even when they was quoting scriptures to support that what he is doing is good. And whilst he was lecturing us on how he came about and his things. And I saw three colors, but yesterday I didn't understand it, so I want to share. I saw a line like this, and the tip of it was red, and down was black, and top was light green. I pray about it, but yesterday I didn't understood it.
Was it a vision?
Like, I closed my eyes and it flashed.
So it was a vision. You saw it in the shrine.
Whilst he was lecturing us on how he came about. And at that time, we were studying about traditional priesthood.
Yeah, you know, it's not a straight line. It's not a straight line, so it's serpentine, like snaky. Uh-huh. So maybe that's what, and the tip is red. You know what that means? Blood. So that is what it will use to pierce through you, and you know, that's why it's blood. That's an instrument that God is trying to show you that he's not straight, and the end is death. In such places, if you have to go to such places because of your course, as you go, you must plead the blood of Jesus on your head.
I was not feeling to go back. My father was
pushing
that I should just go.
He said it was course you are doing?
Religious studies, and one of our lectures was introduction to West Africa traditional religion.
When we were in secondary school, we used to call them witches and wizards. Because they were learning about witchcraft. West Africa, like, witchcraft is our, and it's not bad and all that. Okay. Give it to, and then maybe that will be the last question. Okay. But I saw a hand up. Okay. Then maybe we'll end here. Is there anybody outside who has a question? Okay. We thank God for this session. Let's open our Bibles and let's go to the next session. Why? Are you not in for Mrs. Retreat? Or you are tired? So we should make it tomorrow. We should make it tomorrow. Okay, then tomorrow, what time are you coming? Okay. If you will come at 7, then I will let you go. I was prepared to finish this whole thing before I let you go, you know. Yeah, so if you will come at 7, then I will let you go. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this session. We pray, committing ourselves to your hand. Even as we are going to sleep, we pray that you be with us. We pray that you reveal yourself to us in our dreams. Give us good dreams. Show us your plans and purposes. Help us to know what is happening, what we have to do. Give us direction in dreams. We pray for protection and preservation. In Jesus' name, amen.